It was a time of high adventure. Four intrepid heroes setting out on a quest of magic, intrigue, and treachery.
Get you some adventure.
Last time on the dungeon door.
The patrons erupt and start cackling as their eyes ignite into blue flame. Roll for initiative. The Dungeon Door! Episode 2, Chapter 1. Meeting at the Blue Hearth. We left our adventurers inside the strange inn known only as the Shriek. The proprietor of the establishment, the narrator, as she calls herself, seeks to enlist our would-be heroes for a dangerous task. If you remember, Captain Nadia Chernova will pay handsomely for the rescue of her men and the destruction of a particularly evil tree known as a Rotwood. But let's not get ahead of ourselves, because Renzo the Gremlin Sharpshooter, Triss the Tabaxi Rogue, Helena the Human Barbarian, and of course, Selena the Tiefling Cleric. Well, they're all about to find out that the Shriek is even more stranger than they imagined. Let's join them now as we roll for initiative.
I have a 10.
Okay. Sorry, let me write that down.
14.
Because you're on the stairs, Renzo, right? You were trying to go up.
Yeah, Renzo, as with every adventure Renzo goes on, he's always trying to go to bed when something an 8, fully highlighting how uninterested he is.
And I'm going to roll for my stuff. Okay, so Triss is at the top, so I believe Triss is actually kind of didn't get cornered like Helena, who's basically surrounded right now. Renzo and Selena are on the staircase, but Triss actually was able to maneuver around. I'll let you do the flavor about with your first attack, but it goes Triss, then Helena, then Selena, then Renzo before I even get a roll. So, hey, went well. Triss, you're up.
How many patrons are we talking here?
In the immediate vicinity, there are four aggressive ones, and there seems to be more on the sidelines, but they're kind of just cheering you on. They're kind of just, this fight is kind of like, they're not participating yet. They're just kind of like, yeah, and they're looking creepy with their flaming blue eyes. So there is there is the bandit human. There is, what you notice is, Fizzle and Durva have actually come up.
Oh.
there is a burly human. Fizzle and Durva are kind of behind them, and then the Kenku and the burly man have their hands on Helena's. So that's about five right now. Five characters: two humans, one wood elf, one halfling, and one Kenku. Those are your targets right now.
All right, so using my claws, I can actually scale up the wall and get anywhere I want in there. So I will kind of drop around behind the guy that Helena turned around. So
sure.
I'm basically flanking him. And then I don't really want to kill him outright, so I'm just going to use my claws and try and take him down a notch.
Sure.
Does it require an athletics thing, or just you just do it?
Nope. I have a climb speed.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Because he's a kitty man.
I'm going to use a dagger, because my claws are not really something I like to use.
Or you have a target part of his body you're going to aim for?
His legs.
Okay, his legs.
I'm going to try and put him
back
down
of,
on his
back
knees.
Of his legs, or?
Yep, okay. Basically.
Cool.
So, I only hit an AC of 11.
Okay. And it has to beat the armor class or equal or beat?
Equal or beat.
It does not.
Okay.
So, he manages to dodge out of the way. Unless, Helena, you're grappling him. Are you grappling him?
I think I just turned him around. Like, I have my arm on his shoulder.
So, he dodged out, and in doing that, he spun around to face Triss.
So did these still look like people?
They look
with glowing blue eyes.
Yeah, like You don't have much time to drink it all in, but yes, they're basically, you see glowing blue eyes. There are tendrils of flames coming out of them. They still look like their respective races and stuff. You do notice, as it happened, all the orange candles in the room have kind of dimmed to almost just barely before turning into a smolder. So everything's just very blue in the room.
Can I make an insight check to see if my character thinks that these things are still human, i.e. in a normal brawl, like, you wouldn't be trying to murder?
You probably don't have the time, just because this has happened so fast and it's kind of chaotic. It's something you haven't really experienced, but unless you're magically sensitive, you're not going to know anything. You were talking to Derva. She has actually come forward with a rapier, and Fizzle has come forward with a club. The expression on his face is sort of, oh, it's you. And Derva looks kind of upset that it's you.
Oh, so they do have, like, deadly weapons out.
These two do. The rest don't. The Kenku has its claw on you. The big burly guy has his hand.
I'm going to go into a rage. Then I am going to punch the Kenku.
Sure.
I critically failed. I don't know if we're doing something.
You rolled a one. Okay, so you,
yeah.
You punch, but the Kenku is quite short. Maybe he ducked, but you just you spin around and lose your balance and fall right on your ass. You don't fall on anyone, but they are looking to surround you. I won't make it too painful for your first fail, but you that's kind of what happened. Okay, so he's done nothing right now. Selena, you are on the stairs. Locke is further up on the stairs, so you're kind of blocking his way. Or no, wait, he's blocking you because you were coming down the stairs.
No, I was probably in front of him.
Okay,
I'm going to cast Thaumaturgy and create a thunderclap behind the Kenku and the soldier to get them away from Helena. I just do that. That's just a thing you do.
They are startled. They definitely turn. They're like, what the hell?
Hey, get away from her. What the hell, guys? I just kind of just like clap real quick.
Not only does it scare the Kenku and the burly dude, they both let go. Obviously, the Kenku let go when he was engaging Helena, but they all kind of look to it, and everyone kind of steps back for a little second. Especially Derva and Fizzle. They look like kind of out of their element, like they don't know what the hell's going on. In contrast to the rest of the people, and if you're looking, if you're trying to look for expressions in these people's eyes, that's the only thing you can manage, is that they kind of look a little out of place. And I'm just going to give that to you guys because it's very... Because I'm still learning.
Okay. Oh, is it me?
Yes.
Renzo is not going to fight anyone, but he's definitely got a, say, it'd be a baseball size orb made of brass. He's not going to directly engage anyone, but he's going to definitely hold it aloft. And his thumb is depressing a button inside on the side of it. And there's a definite ticking noise, and he's just going to hold it above himself and see if he can get through the crowd. He's not going to engage anyone, but he's definitely holding an explosive up that's prime.
There, one of the big burly dude, I don't know, maybe he has long hair or something, he's just a big old human dude, and he doesn't quite get the picture, but everyone else seems to, but he's gonna rush you.
Well, that's not going to be good for everybody else.
Well, let's see how this plays out. What's your armor class?
14.
Yes, he does. He hits you, and you can react how you'd like, because obviously you have this thing armed or something, right?
Yes.
So he's got you pinned up against the railing of the staircase, if that makes sense. Is that...
So has he lifted Renzo like up off his...
Yeah, he's kind of like, he kind of picks you up, like, he's like, and he kind of bashes you against the railing a little bit.
Okay, that's fine.
You can react if you want. That's up to you.
How loose are his clothes?
Yeah, pretty loose. He's just kind of wearing a shirt, very loose fitting linen shirt, and, you know, he's got them Dockers on.
Brindle's going to drop the brass orb down the back of his shirt.
That might be a sleight of hand roll.
Yeah.
Does it activate immediately?
No, it's gonna it The next turn, it's going to go off.
Okay, cool. So, I don't think he reacts to it too much. He seems kind of like he probably is like, what the hell, but he does. He does 2 damage to you. It's mostly just kind of on the back of your head. A little bit of impact damage there. And the thing has slid down into his butt crack.
Boy, that's going to suck.
yes. So that was mine. Sorry, go ahead.
Do you want me to remind you what that does?
Yes, please.
It's going to cause an It's going to detonate in a 5-foot radius explosion, dealing 1d8 fire damage.
Yeah, no, this is good.
this is good.
No, it's gonna work beautifully. But yes,
I'm committing a war crime.
If anyone, I don't know. Does anyone know what that was? I don't know.
I have no idea what's going on.
So, yeah. So I'm gonna do the.
Fire in the hole.
This whole thing kind of shook up everyone, and because of the thunderclap, I'm going to say that the rest of the people, they kind of stopped. They stopped for a moment. So the turn's going to go back to Triss, and this is where the explosion is supposed to happen.
Yep.
After or before?
It should have. Well, since you're saying it's.
Oh, you're probably right. It probably blows up. So let's just get to the point where it blows up. Actually, no. I don't know if you need to do the rolls, because this is what's going to happen. It fell into his butt crack. He kind of winces, like, oh, it's burning. It's burning. And he grabs his butt, and immediately there's this giant, like, and his belly just goes. And immediately as that starts happening, his skin cracks and this azure light starts breaking through and he blows up into blue flames. And now you can roll for the damage. His whole body just... and it breaks apart. It doesn't break apart like skin. It breaks apart like he was made of ash. He is nothing but ash now.
Can I try and identify if I know anything about that with Arcana?
Sure.
Yeah, 7 fire damage.
7 fire damage? Is it everyone in the 5-foot?
Everyone in a 5-foot radius. But it was also contained against a person.
I'm gonna have everyone roll. What would be a good one for like athletics? Because it's more going to be about the force that when he blows up. Some of you are going to get blue flame in the face. It does not hurt you at all.
It'd probably be a dexterity roll, though, for the to dodge the...
Sure.
A saving throw?
Yes. Yeah, dex saving. So everyone roll and tell me your... Renzo probably has the foresight to... Well, no, because you're right. You're right in front of him, so you're going
to
take the most.
I'm also resistant to fire damage.
Okay, yeah. This fire... The blue flame does not actually hurt.
11.
18.
Okay, Renzo, fine.
5.
Tyler?
So I guess if I'm...
24.
Up on the top of the thing, but whatever.
Oh, okay. I'll take that into account. Selena you get pushed a little bit back, but you're fine. Okay. Helena does take 1 damage though. But the fire does not hurt you. It's more about the concussive force. You're already on your back anyways. But...
I do have resistance to bludgeoning damage. I don't know if that protects me.
Okay, I'll let it go. That's fine. But you're all kind of pushed back. This guy blew up. It is your turn now. The thing exploded. The guy exploded into ash, and all this blue flame went everywhere. As this is happening, it's falling. The ash sucks into the fireplace, and it ignites into blue flame. The flames kind of roar and get a little brighter, and then dull back down again. So all the ash goes right back into there. All the blue flame from him zooms right back into the fireplace. It's your turn, Triss. Yes, I will let you do an Arcana check.
Okay, I roll a 19 for the Arcana.
You roll a 19 for the Arcana? Yes, you probably have some knowledge that these are constructs, they're not actually people. You don't know what is in the constructs, but if you try to engage them, you notice that it's probably not going to be too hard.
Okay, well, in that case, I'll pull out my rapier and I'll start taking a couple of them apart.
Sure. Who do you want to aim for? You got... we only have 4 guys left in the main pile right here.
The main that same guy that was messing with Helena.
Okay, that's the bandit. That's...
We don't like your kind here, so that's him.
Is no one stunned by the fact that Renzo just exploded a person?
You're all knocked on your asses, or at least got pushed back, so I don't...
The tavern?
I mean, sure, there was some... there's some shrieking, but then, you know, whatever. There's some cackling following it. After he sucks back into the fireplace.
Does it sound like the narrator?
No, it's like... All the patrons are kind of in joyous laughter and like, yeah, there's applause. Sorry. Yes, this is a good point. Yes, they react very, yeah, like, oh, this ain't no thing. Like, oh, this is great. Like, oh, is it a gladiator match? Like, they're very joyous. And except for Durva and Fizzle, who look very confused.
Okay, so I hit AC 19 for 11 points of damage on the...
On the bandit? Yeah, and as soon as you do that, like, his whole head just kind of crumbles into ash and he falls away, and it once again, the blue flame shoots into the fireplace, and the ash also follows it, and he's gone.
Okay. Do I have anybody else in range of me?
You can do 2 attacks? Wow.
If I'm dual wielding.
Okay, let's see, where's the... No. No, he's the only guy that was closer. The Kenku is... Is closer to Helena, and so is, and the Durva and the halfling have kind of backed off a little bit from you guys.
Can I get to the Kenku in 30 feet?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, I'll go do that and then stab him with my dagger.
Sure.
Hit AC 11.
Oh yeah, he also breaks apart. Same story. Helena, you're. You're on your butt.
I just kind of turn. I'm gonna use my turn to talk with them.
Sure, you can try.
What's going on here? I'm very confused.
So you're having to shout over the laughter and everything, and they look confused too. And they look at the patients around. And they look at you, and their eyebrows furrow, and they kind of open their mouths and kind of just it's kind of this sort of. Inhuman screaming, and they rush you, or they're going to if can you react? I mean, you took the time to do that, so probably not.
I guess I'll accept not being able to do that because I was not prepared to fight them.
However, it is Selena's turn, so you do see them starting to rush, and so it's up to you if you want to try to assist.
I pull out my mace, and then once again cast a thaumaturgy to. Make my voice boom 3 times as loudly and just shout, "Stand down!"
So yeah, I mean, immediately they're kind of thrown off and they kind of wheel away from Helena. But then what happens next is that the entire audience that has encircled you, oh, they start shouting and they get mad. And then they actually grab Durva and Fizzle and they start punching the shit out of them. And then they start punching each other. And the whole room erupts into this just giant bar fight. You're kind of far away. The closest person is probably Triss. And they're just fighting and fighting and fighting. And that's going to be the end of combat. The narrator finally speaks. Enough! Immediately, all the patrons explode into ash. All the blue flame sucks into the fireplace. And there is just massive flames. It almost reaches towards the staircase as every single patron is turned to ash and it all goes into the fireplace. After all that is done, it dies down. There is no one in the entire inn except you guys, Mum, and the captain and the narrator. And that's it.
What the hell is going on?
You are quite worth your merit. I hope you don't mind, but our patrons, they kind of like to roughhouse. I assure you, the danger you are in. And she has finally, she hasn't stood up, but she's kind of leaning over because she's in the dark. And she speaks loud enough so you can hear. It's obviously not, it's very quiet now. I had to test your mettle, and what better way than having my patrons try to kill you? The captain facepalms like this.
Was that really necessary? Are you telling me all of this was an illusion? And the narrator goes, hush, 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 hush. Wasn't that fun?
Nope. Bye.
And Renzo is promptly just going to go walk right back out the door.
He might be onto something here.
Which door is that?
This is a weird place.
Whichever the door is closest to leaving.
Okay, cool.
Oh, please stay.
Nope.
But I've promised you so much money.
That is why you don't come down from the mountains, because fucking blue people explode into flames and pomegranates.
Well, I had to test you all. Of course, your merits. I needed to know you were expert fighters. But hey, you have bombs instead, so.
So you can create a whole town full of people, and you needed to test us?
The captain looks irritated.
I believe there are some facts you all may like to know, which... What she's trying to say is that, no, I did not conjure those people. They are dead, but they are friendly spirits. You see, the Shriek is a place for all lost and weary souls to come and take some time off. It's for relaxation for the dead. So they come through my fireplace and they can have a good time. Even in death.
Do they live in your
fireplace? No, it's more like a portal.
Yeah, I'm leaving. Yeah, it was a sure good time when I had to frag one with a bomb that, like, my armor is going to be... I need to polish this. This is expensive. Good day. Good day, madam.
All right. Renzo is leaving.
I need to talk to you about something, because I am having a day, all right? First of all, I come down here, and I get swindled by that little green bitch over there, and then I come down here, and my friend is dying. Now the entire fucking inn is full of ghosts. Do you know who I represent?
No.
Clarify, I think they're in the fireplace now.
I also do not know who you represent, this order of... the religion,
I understand completely and thoroughly. I apologize for the rude revelation, but you must know what you're up against. In Hollowvale, there will be specters most foul. There will be the bleakest of black monster to fight. And if you can't handle a few specters... Sharing liquor in ashen forms that I constructed with my magics. Well, then how will you take on the five-headed Dracolich? I don't know if there is one, but I'm just assuming. Hollowvale is quite a place of horrific wonder. And we have a saying here in the Shriek. The dead aren't our enemies. We should celebrate them. Except the ones that are trying to kill.
So what are you then? A necromancer or something?
That is not my profession. I am but a servant. I am the steward of the Shriek.
All the power and wonderful, wonderful little bits of magic you've seen tonight are due to the shack itself.
So this is a phylactery then?
Whatever you're into, sweetie. I'm not here to judge in your sexual escapades.
While this conversation is going on, Helena is just kind of slowly inching towards the door that Renzo's at.
No, he's gone. He's outside.
Oh, that slowly inching towards the door either. That Renzo left through.
I was initially taken back, but if we do not open the trade routes, perhaps many people will die. This is the only way, and with the naval blockade to the west, there are a lot of towns that are relying on these trade routes. And of course, poor Roderick, if you still want your money and to work for us, I'd be more than happy to pay you. You no longer have to reside in the Shriek if it upsets your tender little heart.
I represent a very prestigious order. That's trying to keep life and death from not
fucking, like, imploding or whatever. This is kind of distressing me out a bit. You seem to be trapping these souls from their rest.
They are here of their own free wills. They just know that the Shriek Throw is an awesome night of drinking. Did you hear? We had Fizzle with his great voice and Derva on the violin. Ooh, wasn't
that
great?
That guy sucked.
Well,
she was pretty good, but he's not really.
I mean, taste is everything.
It's not.
They're over 200 years old, okay?
I think I saw Derva talking with the woman over there.
Ah, yes. Oh, Helena. Will you be leaving us now, darling?
I'm just gonna go get some spoons.
Of course! Have your spoons! We have plenty of spoons here, but if you need a specific spoon, I think there's a nice spoonery in town. You know, Helena, we're digging out the pomegranate pits. Bye!
Trish follows her.
Be back by morning, or we're leaving without you! The fireplace kind of crackles, and Babbo comes out. As he emerges from the flame, he kind of looks a little bit like Ghost Rider. His head's on fire. You can see his sort of a skeletal image. But then quickly, the ash from the fireplace kind of reconstructs itself and forms his visage and creates his body. And quickly, the color returns to his cheeks. And he looks like a normal patron as the blue flame kind of wisps itself off of his form. And he walks through like nothing happened. Just all jolly with his little drinking hands. Comes over to the bar with Mom, looks at all you guys.
Hey! You guys have a good time! I think it's about time for me to hit the hay!
This is way beyond anything I've ever trained for and stuff, so, like, I have no idea how to react to this. Obviously, there's something really bad out there. I've heard the zombie tree or something, which sounds very bad. I will help you for now. But if this turns out to be some kind of, you know, dark magic and bad people and not on the up and up like stuff, then I'm going to have my order come down here and probably going to have to kill all of you.
If you would like to have verification from your friend again, you may go up to their room.
I come here and then she's all poisoned and dying and no one's helping her.
You did hear about the rotwood.
Yes, but I came in and I healed her fine.
She is a changeling and I don't think we have the proper healing methods, but you did.
It's basic healing magic. I learned that in my teenage years.
I'm sorry we don't have the best healers on staff. Most of us are dead. But I will take it up with the shack and see if we can, or sorry, the shriek. I will take it up with the shriek and your complaints will be known. Isn't that right? And she pats the wall. The house kind of responds with a wooden groan.
I'm not leaving my friend, so abracadabra your goddamn room back and I'll just stay with her tonight.
Very well. And all your friends, will they not be joining us?
I don't even know who they are.
The narrator looks a little disappointed. Doesn't understand, like, why anyone have an adverse reaction, basically. She hangs around a bunch of weird shit all the time.
Mom, would you be so kind and give our guests upstairs some food if they wish?
Oh, of course, says the blue dragonborn with the very pronounced fin.
Bobbo, can you go see what they'd like?
We'd still have some fresh beast on the barbie, as they say. If you would like some of my beastie sauce on it, I'll give it for you.
And where Bobbo hops to it, follows you up to the room to serve. Do you want the beast sauce? Yes? No? No.
I mean, I guess.
So on the porch, the captain takes out from her pouch some rolling papers and some tobacco and starts rolling. Triss, Helena, where are you? Because I know Renzo's on the porch. Probably with Bert, I'm guessing. Helena? What are you up
this,
to?
This seems like kind of like the stories she heard growing up about how fairies like spirit you off to another world or something.
That's probably smart. So Helena Porforge is setting up camp outside. in the street.
Like on the other side of the road. Yeah.
Okay, and just for the record, like this the shriek is like right at the edge of town. There's nothing around it except maybe a little cobblestone road, if that. Like it's pretty barren. Like it chose the right edge of town. So you have plenty of space.
Okay.
What about you, Triss?
I'd be kind of helping Helena set up our camp, I guess, because we still have to go help out our friend Dev, but I'd also be trying to start a conversation with Renzo to see what the hell he thought of all that.
Sure. And the captain's going to be dragging on her cigarette.
Well, then I guess Renzo is going to be down. Are there? Of course, there's pomegranate trees. He's actually securing a suspended hammock.
Okay. The captain comes down the porch, looks, goes over to you guys' camp.
Hey, so are you still joining us for this rescue mission?
Yeah, I'm still going, but I'm not staying in that damn building. That's for sure. Nope.
It is very strange.
Yeah, it's putting it lightly.
Yeah, that's an understatement and a half.
Yeah, a woman who is flirting with me just burst into a billion pieces and disappeared.
Oh, boo-hoo, you've got problems. I blew up someone who didn't exist.
That doesn't sound like a problem?
This is not normal, then, for people of your caliber, because magic and the undead, I do not understand. I thought maybe it was a local thing.
I mean, magic happens, but not an entire inn full of ghosty, stabby, weird people. No, not usually.
Is there going to be more in the Hollowvale? I've never been, as you know, because my men were captured.
Welcome to the club.
All right.
I haven't been there either.
So we do not trust. Do we trust our host? This mysterious woman, the narrator.
Well, we're camping outside, so no, we don't trust the host.
As a general rule, I try not to trust anybody who wears masks or, you know, can't see their face. Same thing.
I think perhaps you are right. If we set out up the camp here. But we need to leave in the morning before daybreak. We need as much daylight as we can muster. I am told that the Rotwood is weaker in sunlight.
If it's like evil and undead, that's kind of a thing, I guess.
Okay, I guess.
The narrator has said we need transportation and that they will provide it. But unless you all have horses?
I got Bert.
We were to bunk in the shriek an hour before sunrise, and we get on the road if you are coming. If you are not, well, there is not a lot of people in this town. So we will be missing you, and hopefully we do not die a painful death.
Let me ask you this, Captain. What's the narrator getting out of helping us?
I do not know. I believe it is a, how do you say, a supernatural entity? They seem pretty helpful. They did bandage my wounds. Unfortunately, Selena's up in the shriek, right? Yeah. Her name is the tiefling with their horns. She, her friend, is very unfortunate, became infected. But I hear she is doing better.
Are you saying we need to be in the house to get to where we're going?
If it is to go through the fireplace, I do not know if I would be comfortable. But at this point, I am ordered to clear the pass. And going back to my superiors is an option. But I do not think that will go so well, but that's my problem.
Have you stayed here before?
I have stayed here for that last, when she arrived. Was it like a day ago? I think so. I've stayed here for one night. It seemed
hospitable enough. There is a strange groaning in the at the old wood. And of course the and what the hell was that? Of course. I did not know that the patrons were made of fire or some shit. I understood they were from a different time. They look very old. I saw some very, very antique armor and style of dress I saw. But I assumed they were some sort of magic-y beings, but I do not know. I am but a soldier.
What do you think, Triss?
I guess we could just go ask the narrator, assuming we're going to get a straight answer out of her. But I really don't want to sleep. Let's put it this way. If we're staying in that building, I think we should all stay in the same room.
I have a question. Do you know the doors? Do you think about going into your room and then you open door, you are in the room? What happened if someone is trying to come out of the room while you are trying to go in? I'm just saying. That's where my concerns lie. Perhaps I should be more concerned. But at this point, if you saw what I saw, I think we could take any supernatural help we can get. But you are the adventurers, but my coin is yours.
Fuck it! And she just walks back in.
Fine, I'll break down the camp.
Oh, welcome back!
From Babo.
Oh, God.
Maybe I won't break down the camp.
Take off my face!
What about your face?
No, I'm just Babo. Want to watch me take my face off? No, Babo, no.
The captain stamps out her cigarette.
He came back.
If any of you want to stay out here in camp, just ask. I'm sure we can get the cook to bring you more foods. It is getting very late for myself. Ah, that fucking accent. It is getting late for myself. Yeah, really can't do that one right. It is getting really late for myself. close enough. I need to rest soon. But make your preparations. Only take what's necessary.
What are you thinking, Renzo?
I'm thinking I'm not going back in that fucking house. I also think that the money's real. I also think that, yeah, fuck that house. I'm sleeping outside.
Fair enough. I'll see you in the morning, yes?
Yeah, yes. I'm going to go back inside after I break down the part of the camp we set up.
The one thing that Helena is going to do is she's going to take a fire poker and, like, poke at the fireplace.
Sure, as you do that. it's kind of just regular fire, except it's blue. Nothing really happens when you do that. Though Babo does come up behind you with a tray of hors d'oeuvres. They look a little bit like squishy fortune cookies, some sort of pot sticker.
Can I interest you in a bling bong? It's got bee sauce on it.
I don't like you.
Cool. Do you want a bling bong?
Let me write down bling blong really quick.
Yeah, that'll come back as a relevant thing for the story.
More for me, I guess!
And she goes, he goes trotting over to Mom and sets the tray down on the bar. Takes a seat. When I say take a seat, I mean it takes him a long time. Like, Mom takes the tray from him, but he's like trying to get up the stool, but he can't quite, because he's just a little short guy. It's very, but it's taking him longer than it really should, even for his stature. He may just
so
be.
It's all of them in a nearly empty inn watching a halfling struggle to get up into a stool.
Is that not how you spend your weekend night? The narrator is still in her same spot in the corner. She hasn't moved all night. The captain has come back in and is at the bar, lowly conversing with Mum.
I'm gonna head over to the narrator.
The narrator nods at you.
Just one last thing. After he sits down, she's gonna call him back over. She really wants to try a bling blong. She just couldn't.
I'll be right over. Hey, Mom! Give me those bling blongs! Hey! You wanna try a bling blong?
Nah.
Absolutely, I will try a bling blong.
Oh, boy! They're the best! I made them myself.
Good job, Babo.
Yeah! Thanks!
And the psychotropic poison takes effect.
Yeah, I eat the bling blong. What does it taste like?
It tastes like a pot sticker.
Oh, it's this is great. This is the best soggy fortune cookie I've ever had, Babo.
Oh, thanks! If you want to take some in the, for the road, I can put them in your pockets.
I just leave the tray. I can put them in my own pockets.
Are you sure?
Yes.
So, Captain told us you were providing transportation in the morning. Can you give us some info on that?
Yes, I can do that. The kind of transportation I provide is in the Shriek itself. You see, we have a very talented blacksmith downstairs who keeps our building in tip-top shape.
Go on.
Oh, cool. Are you asking about the method of transportation?
Some details, like, you know...
We're going to be walking to our destination, but I can only go so far... In the Shriek. There is an aura that prevents me from taking the Shriek closer, and that's why I'm here. Because the more north you go, oh, it's bad. Oh, you'll see if you go there. It's awful. Little town called Durr, right next to the bridge to Hollowvale. And that's where we'll have to drop you off, and you're going to have to hoof it the rest of the way. I hope that's okay.
But you said we're walking.
We're walking in the Shriek.
That's not... Wait, the Shriek's walking?
The Shriek walks. Ah!
So Renzo that's outside won't be going with us? Or will he?
Well, if he chooses to not follow us on horseback, I suppose he will get left behind. It would be nice if he could join us, but... I suppose some arrangements could be made to, I don't know, give him some nice running shoes?
If he's, like, on the front porch, will he go with us?
Oh, of course. Though he may need to hang on.
I can probably maybe bribe him to do that. All right, I'll go talk to him.
The narrator raises her mug to you as you leave.
All right. So I'll go outside and go over to Renzo, wherever his hammock is set up, and be like, hey, Renzo, I talked to the narrator.
Uh-huh. Renzo is currently sitting on a mat with several candles out, and he's putting together an explosive device. And he's got, like, a jeweler's eye in, and he's got his, like, tools out, and he looks up, uh-huh.
Would I be able to recognize what you're doing?
If you know, you can tell, I'd say you'd be able to reasonably tell he's putting together a clockwork device of some sort, but unless you know, I mean, I guess you could roll for it.
You could roll.
Or you could just ask.
Okay, so I'll take a step or two further back once I realize you're dealing with explosives and open flames. And then be like, yeah, so she said the whole building's going to walk us to the next town. So you need to be at least on the front porch when it starts moving, and you should probably hold on tight if you're not inside.
Uh-huh.
Yep, that's so... kind of what I thought. Nah, I'm going to turn around and start walking back to the door.
Right. Renzo is going to take what looks like a cigar out of his pack, put it in his mouth while working on explosives, mind you. strike a match off the back of his ear, light it, throw the match on the ground behind him, and then just... Right. Bert, however, will follow Triss up to the porch and then just lay down on it and then proceed to look at Renzo and whine. Renzo is pointedly ignoring Bert at this point and working on what he wants to work on. By the time the house or the whatever is ready to move, Renzo will be on the porch and he'll have anchored himself to whatever he needs to with the climbing hooks he has. So he's just gonna... He isn't going inside it again.
Sure.
Bert, however, will be inside.
How is the my friend doing? How is Diz and everything? That's where I'm at right now, is back in the room.
Diz is better. Looking more like herself. Has kind of kept the same form, gnawing on some... I have it written down here. Bling blongs. with beef sauce. She's kind of in the dark, just like you. She was stationed to come out here, and she immediately gets, you know, poisoned or, you know, has this disease that they can't cure, which is very weird. It's something she's never experienced.
So what? The order is just working with, like, are you sure they're not like necromancers or like some kind of like?
This is our contact. It's who we're supposed to be working with to clear the rotwood. So apparently. There's multiple sects up there. I don't know if you know this, but they're cut off. Our order's cut off, and we haven't heard any contact from them. They want us to report and see what's going on up there, but we gotta destroy the rotwood first.
I mean, like, totally I'll do that. Like, that seems like a like noble endeavor and all, and obviously if the church wants that taken out, then of course we're gonna do that. But, like, I just don't want this to turn out to be like we're being played by, like, a lich or something, or... Something is real bad with this place.
Whatever attacked my body was some sort of evil affliction. So I'm not sure. But if this is something they're fighting against, well, I can't imagine what this would do to people like me, or who knows, other races.
I'll just have to protect you then.
Well, I wish I could go with you guys, but I gave you all my healing pouches. As much as I could, I hope you're okay. I do worry about you. But I have faith you'll be able to stick it through. And just remember to cling to our symbol and order, and that should protect you from the undead or any malicious beings.
Of course.
Remember the scripture and recite your vows. But I believe in you.
This is a big moment for me too.
Yeah, she's incapacitated. She won't be joining you outside the shriek. She's still recovering, but you did heal her. This is for those I might have missed on saying this, but this is Diz. She's a changeling. She's also an Assyrian knight. She holds a higher position than Selena, and she was her contact in the shriek. But she fell to an affliction, which was assumedly passed by Nadia Chernova, the captain, who sustained serious injuries in the actual rotwood tree. So things don't seem to be going too well for her. I mean, she's a knight. She's a capable person, you know, but totally brought to her knees by this affliction because she's a changeling.
I think Helena is probably just going to get drunk at the bar and kick her heels back against a chair, probably fall asleep like that.
Okay. And Triss?
I'm going to eat way too many bling blongs and then fall asleep basically back to back with Helena so we can keep an eye on each other.
Cool. Okay, so you the only person making use of the camp is Renzo then?
He will move a bedroll to the porch, and he's eating, he's cutting off slices of, like, dried meat from a thing he has in his pack.
Okay.
From a thing he has in his pack? Just a thing? A thing with dried meat?
Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah. What do you want?
It's dry meat thing. Don't you have a dry meat thing?
No.
I have a dried meat thing, but I try to get it wet every once in a while. da 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 da. Okay, time jump. y'all have chosen your resting positions. I want everyone to just roll a dice and read it to me. D20.
A D20?
Yes. Roll D20.
15.
15.
15.
15.
7.
7.
5.
Okay. Well, so let's start with Triss. You ate too many bling bongs and you have an upset tummy. You are not ready for this adventure. I'm not gonna.
Those bling bongs were just too good.
I'm not gonna like explain any mechanical shortcomings you might have. I'm just gonna say that you feel real bad, like you ate too many.
Oh, it's not because they never were. Cabbage agrees with me.
Yeah, there you go. Selena. So in the night, you noticed sort of a burning on your arm, and you looked over and you see this kind of black tar kind of encroaching, and you don't know where it came from. It seems to be the same something that was affecting Diz. As you, it's kind of like it is like a black substance, and there's little pustules, little bubbles that are appearing on it and slowly rising, getting bigger. And from there, you can see just the tiniest sort of twig coming out of the black goop on your arm.
I mean, yeah, I'll do healing word, and I can't use that for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, that automatically cures it, right? Like, that's not like you have to roll anything.
Yeah.
It does. It definitely works. You sustain some injury, but you're just going to need to bandage your arm. Like, the goo, like, evaporates. It seems to, like, burn off of you and into smoke, and it's gone, and... Yeah, your friend is very apologetic. Didn't know. Was woken up by your stirs, and this probably happened around like 3 a.m. or something. You know, so you didn't get a lot of sleep either, and you feel drained. Like, you do notice puncture wounds in your arm, like it was draining your blood. So fun nights for you and Triss.
Is she still infected?
I don't know. Not for me to say, but for you to figure out. But yeah, the morning arises. She doesn't know anything more than you, but she assumes it's probably... that looks like the Rutwood, and somehow some passed on to you. Like, Selena, since you're dealing with it, you can roll to see if you have any knowledge of it. What would be a good skill for that? It would be...
History?
History? Is history? Yeah. History or nature? Is nature?
I mean, I have a higher nature than I do... A higher history than I do in nature, but...
Sure. You also have a religious check too, so I think you could definitely get bonuses from your religion and your...
I rolled 20.
Yeah, you... So it occurs to you, like, you never heard it called the Rotwood. You understand it from a... And more of a... I don't know, like a scientific name, which I don't know what it would be.
Maybe you do.
Or something that your order would call it from a... from sort of a biblical standpoint. It is basically this parasitic entity that affects vegetation and organic matter. It looks like a tree. It's not really a tree. It's more of like a parasitic organism, but it's very similar in how it constructs itself. And it doesn't have chlorophyll or anything. It drinks blood, mostly animal blood and stuff, whatever it can find. So, yeah. There's stories about, basically, you might have remembered these whole cities falling to this thing, because obviously cities are it's would be a feeding ground, and it can take many forms, though all that is not really discussed in your books. It's just basically the barest of knowledge on it. As far as like dealing with it, it's not something that has been seen for quite some time. So there's not a lot of on-hand accounts of it, just these sort of stories that have been passed down.
So then, yeah, I'll head back downstairs then.
Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah, it's morning. You awake. If you're inside the shriek, you hear this groaning and sort of a rumbling. Feels like a small earthquake, and then nothing. Renzo, who I assume is sleeping on the porch or near it.
He's on it.
The house rises. It rises with creaks and moans. It almost like it has a voice. It's like, and it does, it kind of moves and bends, and out from underneath its base, you see that it has a stone bottom, like a basement. And from those, from that basement, yeah, it's like a big, thick foundation underneath it. And you see just all sorts of insect-like limbs underneath it. Some don't seem to serve a purpose, but the ones that are actually lifting it off the house, there are four legs, sort of spider legs, that are coming out of the stonework.
Oh, great. We're on the spider from Wild Wild West.
Well, that's something you don't see every day. What's about to happen? What's going on? Well, you're going to have to tune into the next episode and find out on The Dungeon Door!